Chris Gibson, when we were last talking, we had this fascinating conversation about Trump versus Hillary. And you said, I am not voting for Hillary Clinton. And you laid it at the door of Benghazi.
Benghazi, and also I would tell you that what will happen in this global initiative really bothers me. The idea that Hillary was Secretary of State, and it appears, and we're still learning more, but that, you know, the former president was giving speeches and gaining donations, support internationally.
You're talking about her husband, William.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
The former president, you know, certainly working on his global initiative. But the issue is the connection between his speeches and activities and what the United States government position was in relation to those donations.
Give us an example.
Well, you know, anywhere where...
So if he goes to Saudi Arabia,
right.
And we're to, right?
And, well, that's the point I'm making here is that I've never had it laid out for me in clear terms how that they're exonerated from these activities, because there was an extensive amount of foreign donations that came in. And the United States government took a lot of positions over those periods when Hillary Clinton was our Secretary of State. And I think we just have to be really careful of conflicts of interest, and it's far from clear for me that that occurred during her tenure.
Yeah. Okay. So what if Donald Trump called you up, Chris Gibson, and said, you're a distinguished American, we want you to be Secretary of Defense? Would you do it?
Well, I've committed to Williams. I've said
Well,
let me tell you. Let me say this. Look, I'm a New York Jets fan, and it's always bothered me that Bill Parcells has never fulfilled a contract. And so when I met with Williams, I told him, look, you know, when I give my word, I'm going to fulfill that word. So I'm going to be committed to them through June of 2019. And, you know, that's where I plan to serve and to really make a difference.
Well, you know, there's a long history of academics who... did other things. Remember the guy Woodrow Wilson, and he, you know, he was president of Princeton, and he runs for president, he wins. It's coming out that he wasn't such a good guy after all. However, like the Ku Klux Klan and other things. Nevertheless, he did that. You're saying that even if you get a telephone call and Donald J. Trump says to you, Mr. Gibson, I've read great things about you. You're a terrific guy. We want you to be Secretary of Defense. Are you telling me that the president of Williams won't be in your office saying you got to take it?
I'm going to fulfill my contract. You know, one thing that's very important to me is that I live up to my pledges and my promises. And, you know, that's what I've done in Congress. I told the people I would give them my very best efforts for the time that I was there to serve everyone, regardless of whether or not they voted for me or not, or even whether or not they voted. And we certainly hope they did and do. But, you know, this is what I have endeavored to do is, and ultimately, I hope that helps restore faith in our ability to be self-governing.
Okay, Chris Gibson, good. I want to talk to you about Orlando. You know, 49, 50 people dead, assault rifles, easy access to that. You're a Republican. The NRA has, in fact, been castigated. The front page, as we speak, of the Daily News lays it all at the door of the NRA. I need your reaction.
Not at all. I mean, look, we have to have a reality-based assessment of this. The fact of the matter is this guy conducted an attack. And from the early reports I have, Doc, not only a rifle, a pistol, maybe plural, and then also an explosive device. I think it's important to know that if that explosive device, if that story turns out to be true, that was illegal. So we should look for fact-based, reality-based assessments as we move forward. And if this guy was bringing an explosive device in, which was against the law, and then he killed people, which was against the law, then how do we think for a moment that a terrorist is going to follow a law? I see no evidence that that would be the case.
Yeah, but if you stop selling guns like assault rifles, surely it can't hurt like chicken soup. Right?
We have tested that hypothesis, though, Alan. I mean, we had a period from 1994 to 2004. When AR-15s were prohibited from being sold, and the evidence was it did not make us more secure. So again, I mean, I'm a father of three. Mary Jo and I, we love our community. I believe intensely that we need to do everything, and I do believe it's a government responsibility. When you look at our Declaration of Independence, you know, what we said as a people, our philosophy, is that we had inalienable rights. They come from God. and they include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure those rights, we form governments. So when you hear some in any party that say, well, you know, it's just stuff happens, well, that's not good enough. I mean, the government's responsibility is to secure its people and their rights. Okay. But I think we need to take fact-based analysis on how we do that. And I have actually spent a lot of time talking about this subject, about how I think we can be safer.
Well, tell us.
Well, first of all, with regard to terrorists, we got to have better intelligence operations. Intelligence operations that are streamlined and more effective, still in concert with the Constitution. Because we have a process in place to get warrants, and we need to follow it. You need to stand before a judge, and you need to make a case of probable cause, and then you can surveil, and you can conduct intelligence gathering operations. So I believe that we can do better on that. I've certainly pushed...
In other words, get more warrants and do more background.
Yes, absolutely. That's on the terrorists. And let's be clear, that's what happened in Orlando. So let's not conflate the issue. Let's talk about the issue specifically. Now, more generally, away from Orlando, we do have an issue in terms of security of our communities. And what I have said is, look, more mental health support. We're going to have a bill in committee this week that I think can make a difference, because in this country, after Willowbrook, post-1974, we deinstitutionalized. We sent people home from hospitals, and there was a strong case to be made.
All true. I wrote my doctoral dissertation on that very subject.
And no one can speak more authoritatively than you. But, you know, here's the issue. We put nothing in behind that. Mm. We put no policy in behind that, and we need more support. The bill that I'm supporting will provide federal resources, monies, so that we can provide more inpatient care for those that need that help. And
okay, do you think in this case that we're talking about Orlando, Chris Gibson, do you think if we had, I mean, the wife knew he was crazy, and the wife had made it quite plain that he was abusive and everything else. Well, suppose somebody makes a telephone call. Is that what we're looking for?
Well, here's even more seriously. Again, a terrorist attack. More seriously, the FBI had interviewed, as far as we know.
We know that.
He interviewed twice. So we should take a look at, I spent 29 years in uniform, and every one of our services, and including the FBI, virtuous entity filled with humans being imperfect.
Sure.
And we're never going to get to perfection, even though we should always be striving for that.
Yep.
So we don't want to underreact. We don't want to overreact either. But the fact is, we did have two interviews with this guy, so we should take a look at what went wrong. You know, what is it about the fact that we had a flag? We absolutely had a flag about this terrorist, but yet we were not able to prevent this event from occurring.
Well, we sure ought to take a look at that. What else is on your list of preventative measures? One thing is, we've got to give the FBI a little bit more zest in terms of fulfilling this mission. But the other thing that many people think is this easy access to assault rifles. But you're saying no.
No, I don't think there's no evidence. Again, we did this for a period of time from 1994.
Well, the guy had one.
Well, look, from 1994 to 2004, we had prohibited the sale of, for example, AR-15s. But, you know, we still had very serious incidents that occurred. There was no evidence that it had any tangible impact. Columbine happened during that period. So I don't think that's the answer, because if you look at it in greater depth, you'll understand why it didn't. Because, look, laws are in place, and the fact of the matter is that law-abiding people follow laws. Terrorists don't follow laws, and neither do criminals. So what we need to do, I think, is address the situations of mental health, but then also we need to crack down on the narco-traffickers, those that are benefiting with pernicious activity that push drugs, including opiates and heroin. Because there is a strong correlation between those activities and the use of weaponry that bring violence to our streets.
Okay, Chris Gibson, before we go, and I'm taking a few extra seconds, I just want to say this to you. I need a pledge from you. The pledge is that when you're over there teaching at Williams College with those folks, that you will promise that you are not disengaged from WAMC, that you'll appear on the Congressional Corner, that you'll do commentary for us, and that we can count on you, because you are a unique and important voice, and we thank you so much for doing everything you've done for us.
Well, I'll be honored to come on. Like I said, I don't plan to get involved in individual campaigns.
No, of course not.
But we can certainly talk about the landscape, the political landscape, and what I hope is, I hope to make a contribution about the deeper historical and philosophical undercurrents. Yeah.
That's what professors do. And we thank you for that,
thank
Chris.
Thank you. Best wishes to all the listeners out there, too. I'll tell you, Alan, I enjoy our time together. Thank you.